Thank you, Gary. We'll talk a little Preds before we get out of here at the end of the show. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Light After Lee, Mitch Light from The Athletic now joins us. Mitch, it was a statement weekend for some teams. One of those teams was Georgia. They were a big favorite over Arkansas. Arkansas had come in with that big win over A&M. They were undefeated, and Georgia just hammered them. And they become now the fifth team since 1950. That's 70 years, over 70 years, a team that has scored over 200 points and allowed 25 or less points in their first five games. Can you name the team, the last team to do it? Before Georgia has just now added themselves to that list?
I cannot, and I know silence is not good radio, so I can sit here and think about it, but why don't you just share the news?
20 years ago, Mitch, Virginia Tech did it. And the significance, the reason I'm bringing it up is because Georgia's now the fifth team. The previous four teams all went on to win a national championship other than that Virginia Tech team in 2001. You had Florida State in 93. You had Alabama in 79 and Oklahoma in 1956. So let me just start there. Do you think this Georgia team is going to ultimately be the national champion?
So, but that stat, you're saying it's good when you score a ton of points.
And you don't give up any points. Yes. Okay, the stat says you're very good.
I'm going to take some notes so I can help out with my further analysis.
Yeah.
Are they going to win? Sure. I mean, if I had to bet on a team right now,
you're taking Georgia.
I'd probably take Georgia slightly over Alabama. We saw what they've done. You know, the competition has varied this year. The teams they played, from Clemson, who still has a great roster, to Arkansas, who had before Saturday the best resume in the country. You know, they weren't the best team in the country, but they had the best resume in the country, and they've just been completely dominant. And this is what we see. Like, recruiting, I say this all the time, recruiting isn't everything. It means a lot. And when you have a lot of – you don't miss on a lot of guys, and they're all upperclassmen at the same time, and they're all kind of playing their roles and selfless and all that, to throw out every coaching cliche you want, this is what you get. You get a defense that it's this good. And we might have talked about this a couple weeks ago, but you look around to, like, – Florida State, they're Georgia cast-offs on defense, playing key roles on other Power 5 teams around the country. Like, guys that just weren't good enough to be featured players on this team. So, yeah. And, you know, did anyone think when they found out that JT Daniels wasn't going to play, like, that was really going to hurt Georgia? I didn't. I mean, I just have so much confidence in that defense, and they just kind of set the tone so early in that game. And, you know, I think Jeff Schultz, Atlanta columnist for The Athletic, you know, obviously longtime Atlanta sports columnist, he made the point, which is probably true, you know, this Georgia team is great. Do they need JT Daniels to win a national championship? Yeah, probably. They need to maximize their quarterback play. They're not going to win it with Stetson Bennett or a backup quarterback, but I think they can get by without JT Daniels. So to answer your question, yeah, they're on as good of an early season run as we've seen, you know, in years.
Yep. Alabama also made their statement against Ole Miss. Cincinnati went into South Bend and made their statement. They beat Notre Dame. They're undefeated, and they've got Temple, UCF, Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, USF, SMU, and East Carolina. They got one ranked team the rest of the way. If Cincinnati runs the table, are they going to be the third team in outside of Alabama and Georgia?
It's, you know, so hard to answer now because there's so many variables that need to, you know, how do they look? You know, if they, so far they passed every test. You know, they got outplayed for a half against Indiana and then dominated the second half, and they looked the part against Notre Dame. You know, if they go out and they win every game by 14, 21 points, they run SMU off the field, that strengthens their case. If they, you know, close wins, get a lucky bounce here or there, then you know, you got to look at the complete resume. My gun to my head, I'd say yes. If they go undefeated, they will be in the college football playoff based on the chaos that's going on. But it's so difficult. You know, just, you kind of got to, I mean, I know that's what we do. We talk about it,
right?
We speculate, but it's like, you got to see the body of work before you really judge how good a team is. But I would say they're in a very good shape, very good position. You know, obviously this is not breaking news, but the thing that's hurt them is that Indiana has not been nearly as good as we thought, and Notre Dame hasn't played great, too. They could use Notre Dame. They need Notre Dame to get on a roll, and they need SMU to stay hot. That would help their case immensely.
Yeah, and then you had Oregon with their perfect opportunity, and Pac-12 desperately would love a presence in the college football playoffs, and they go to Stanford, and they have to play catch-up the whole game, and they eventually caught up, went to overtime, and lost. So does that eliminate the Ducks? And if so, no. What about that last spot? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I think everybody can point to Alabama, Georgia, and say the SEC is getting two in, but I think those next two spots are going to be really interesting.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I don't think it eliminates Oregon. They have right now, especially looking like Ohio State's kind of right at the ship. I always talk about this in the college basketball when you bubble talk. What do you have in your back pocket? Who has that best win among the bubble teams?
Yep.
No team – I'll say right now, I don't think any team in the country is going to have a better win than at Ohio State if Ohio State, you know, stays hot. So that – and we've seen teams – you got to treat every team – you got to treat teams fairly. Like, we've seen, you know, Alabama lose to Ole Miss. We've seen Ohio State lose to Iowa. The year they lost to Purdue, I don't think they got in. The years kind of blend together. But teams are allowed a mulligan as long as they've proven that they can be good. And Oregon has proven it can be good. Now, they're not playing as well. And one thing I want to say about that game, anyone who wants to talk about ref conspiracies with the officials about leagues, when there's questionable calls, a lot of times it's bad officiating. You know, Oregon had that game won. Then there was a pass interference, I think, on fourth down, and Stanford got another down, and they scored. Don't you think the Pac-12, as a league, wanted Oregon to win that game? So just throwing that out there, that struck me while I was watching that. So many people think there's all these conspiracies with officiating. I think sometimes just they make bad calls.
How about the game in Lexington? How about Kentucky actually beating Florida after everybody was starting to feel really good about Florida? Florida has absolutely dominated them over the last 34 years, and they stumble for now only the second time in 35 years, but handed to Kentucky. I mean, they took it to them, and I'll tell you what, they had that stand at the end, and they got some penalties, and they pushed them back, and they got a nice review where his knee was down, and next thing you know, Kentucky's now undefeated, 5-0.
Yeah, the thing about Kentucky that's impressive, and, you know, Mark Stoops has always done a good job with his defense, but if you would have told me this, if you would have told me in late August that Kentucky's 5-0, I'd say, wow, you know, Will Levis is probably, you know, putting up 350 yards a game, and Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator, they're working their magic, and Wendell Robinson's, you know, playing like we thought he'd be playing coming out of high school. The running backs are going wild behind the offensive line. Really not. The offense has not been as good as we thought. So I still think there's potential for offensive growth at Kentucky because they have the pieces. They've been getting it done with defense. And, you know, so that's the credit for Kentucky part. And it's the Florida, what do you, you know, you look so good. Florida, yeah, take Alabama to the wire. You really dominate Tennessee. You look the part there. And they go up, and all the questions about Emory Jones start coming back. Maybe he's not the quarterback. And it just angers Florida fans so much because they know the potential of that program, and they just don't have the players. They don't recruit at the level that they should, and it's all great when they win, and Dan Mullen's going to out-scheme everyone. But then when they go lose to Kentucky or something like that, then now the Florida fans, rightfully so in my opinion, say, why can't we recruit, not necessarily maybe – to the elite level that Georgia and Alabama, but they're not. Their roster doesn't compare to those teams. So that's just a kind of a side thing that, you know, obviously credit Kentucky, but that's gotten the Florida fans riled up.
Talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, I notice in The Athletic, the Heisman straw poll is led by Bryce Young. Not a big surprise. My question is, with him, is where he sits right now, you know, there's always this process with a first-year Alabama quarterback, how good is he? You know, so tell me what you think. Where does he compare with his predecessors?
Yeah, I partake in that straw poll, and this is the first week we did it this year, and it was tough. I mean, you know, previous years there had been some obvious candidates there, and I did not have Bryce Young. I was going to kind of go with everyone else. Young's numbers are great, but I kind of stepped back and said, okay, you know, he's the quarterback of Alabama. He's got a great offensive line. I mean, it's the age-old, and that's kind of why you're asking the question, the argument we have every year. It's like, how good is the Alabama quarterback? How good is the Ohio State quarterback when they're outclass everyone? So I actually had Bijan Robinson from Texas 1 and Will Anderson from Alabama 2 and Kenny Pickett from Pitt 3. So Young, I mean, the buzz in the offseason was he was going to be the most dynamic, the most talented of all the Alabama quarterbacks in the Saban era. He has been very good so far. I think it's still incomplete. I mean, he wasn't stressed. You know, was that their biggest game so far this year, the Ole Miss game? Maybe. But he wasn't really stressed. They got up such a big lead. You know, that's kind of what I want to see out of a young quarterback. When in Ohio State's faced it to some degree with C.J. Stroud more than Alabama and Bryce Young. What can he do? Can he make the tough throws in the third quarter when it's a tight game? And I know they were stressed against Florida. I should say that. That was definitely a bigger game there. But, I mean, he's in his first year as a starter. He didn't kind of burst on the scene like Tua did. I think Bryce Young is kind of leading his Heisman straw polls more because there's really no other obvious candidates. I mean, I know he was a preseason favorite because he's a quarterback at Alabama. So I guess my answer would be incomplete. Obviously a great player, but I think we've got a lot more, you know, good things to see from him in the future.
We just talked to Clark Lee, as you know. They get the win over UConn. Here they are, 2-3. Only conference games remaining. We were trying to assess their chances of getting a win in conference play. It doesn't sound like much, but I think it would be a nice thing, but I think we all believe they're going to be a sizable underdog pretty much every week. So give me your thoughts on their chances.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri is the one that jumps off the page because of their defensive struggles. And, you know, we saw that the Tennessee game, obviously, all the credit to Tennessee. They came out there and were confident, but Missouri looked like they hadn't scouted, you know, a Josh Heupel offense ever, which is kind of funny since Josh Heupel used to be the offensive coordinator there. You know, and that's Vanderbilt, despite the injury of Ramon Davis, has, you know, shown the ability to run the ball. I think they had 250. It was the Stanford game, they rushed for 250 yards. So, you know, it's just, this isn't a cop-out. You just never know. I mean, that Derek Mason's 2019 team that went 1-7 in the SEC, I think lost every league game by 17 points or more, and that they just weren't competitive, but they beat Missouri at home, and Missouri was pretty good that year. So, I mean, the answer is, obviously, you got to play the games on paper. Missouri looks like the obvious one. South Carolina, I guess, would be the next one. But, you know, South Carolina is playing better than Vanderbilt, obviously, right now. And, you know, that'd be a tough one. So, yeah, it's just kind of, you just want to kind of see, it's not really all about wins and losses. It's about how do they look? Do they improve? How do they fight? All those, you know, again, all those cliches. You just want to see them be competitive as possible.
Talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic. So, speaking of South Carolina, they're in Knoxville this weekend, taking on the Vols after the Vols go and just manhandle Missouri 62-24 last week. And what you just said about how South Carolina is playing, are you also worried that maybe Tennessee, and as they still try and go through everything, and Josh Heupel and building the new culture, that there could be a little bit of a letdown back home in Knoxville?
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious. What you're concerned about, you're feeling good about yourself, and you know things came just alarmingly easy. I guess that's not the right way to say it because alarming is negative connotation. But if you're Missouri, they came alarmingly easy for Tennessee. So I mean, I think that's probably the focus in the building this week is, you know, keeping their focus. Tennessee's not good enough to take anyone lightly. You know, South Carolina is a team that you know lost 16-10 at home to Kentucky. They are really struggling to score some points. They scored 23 against a not-so-great Troy team. You know, they got a good running game. They really don't threaten you too much at the wide receiver position there. So, I mean, Tennessee, what, it's a 10, 12-point favorite? Or is that about it?
10.5, I think, when I look.
Yeah, yep. I mean, that sounds about right. You know, they're clearly the better team. They're playing better right now. But this is the type of, you know, you want to see them take a step forward by taking care of business. Now they're not going to run them off the field like they did in Missouri, but if they can just like a solid, you know, 27-14 type game, I think that'd be a nice step forward for this program. But I think kind of Chase, what you referred to is that's got to be the message in the building. They've got to stay focused. That, you know, so they won a road game, big deal. Now it's time to move on to the next one.
Well, and you know, I know that the message from Josh Heupel and his coaches isn't going to be we're playing for 6 wins, but when you're being realistic, that's what you're trying to get to and be bowl eligible, have that extra game. And to do that, in my opinion, you have to win at home this weekend because even though Ole Miss is licking their wounds after Alabama, I think Ole Miss is the better team. They're not going to beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I don't think they're going to beat Kentucky in Lexington either. They're certainly not going to beat Georgia in Knoxville, and that leaves you know, the last two games out of conference and then Vanderbilt. So to stay on schedule for that, this is very important.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, you're looking at the games, you're, like you said, you're going to be favored. They've got three wins, they'll probably be favored in three more games, this one and the last two. And, you know, they could lose one of the games they're favored, they could win the other ones. But, yeah, that would be a nice step forward, just tangible progress going to a bowl game. So, yeah, there's you don't want to put too much – in year one, you don't want to put too much importance on, you know, one home game. But by virtue of what they did last week, this kind of sets up South Carolina's, you know, the biggest game they've had there under Josh Heupel.
Is Hendon Hooker, he's obviously been named the starter. Is he showing you enough?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, I mean, I'm far from a quarterback expert. But I liked what I saw from him at Virginia Tech. I thought when he transferred there and, you know, then Milton, and I heard all the Milton buzz, and again, I like everyone else. I saw Milton play two or three times at Michigan, but I liked what I saw, seen a Hooker at Virginia Tech, and I like what I've seen him at Tennessee, so I don't see why he would not be the guy going forward.
Penn State at Iowa, who wins?
Well, last week I picked Maryland. I was like, home field.
Yikes.
I was living a lie. They're winning the turnover. They can't keep winning the turnover battle. Their offense stinks.
They got shredded.
Four turnovers. Yeah, four turnovers. So you know what? I'm picking Penn State because Iowa can't keep winning the turnover battle. So I'm picking Penn State.
You're not a believer in the Hawkeyes.
I didn't say that. I just don't know. Yeah,
he's a believer in Jimmy Frank.
Exactly. great game, though. Obviously, I mean, I think you've seen – I don't have it in front of me, but it's like, did you guys see the stat? The first regular season top five Big Ten matchup not involving Michigan or Ohio State since like 52 or something like that.
Yeah, I believe
it. Early 60s. Yeah, Minnesota and someone else. So, yeah, it's great to see both, you know, I wouldn't say these programs are like newcomers. They both had, you know, Iowa's been a consistent top 20 program, almost had the playoff in 2015, and Penn State's obviously a great program, but it's nice to see some other teams in the top five.
Be a great atmosphere. 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon on Fox. I'm assuming that's going to be Gus, right? 3 o'clock big game on Fox. Got to be Gus.
Usually the big noon kickoff is Fox is Gus, but the Red River Rivalry is on ESPN or ABC for the first time in years.
That's correct.
Fox.
Yep, that's correct.
I'm guessing. I don't know how they don't send their number one.
He's not doing Maryland, Ohio State. That's the early Fox game. There's no way he's doing Maryland. Yeah, it's got
to
be.
Yeah, there's no way they're not sending them to the top five battle. So yeah, we'll get those guys. And that's always a good. They're a good crew. Joel Klatt does a really good job too.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, thanks for the visit as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you guys.
Mitch Light from The Athletic. Good stuff from him as always. We'll switch gears, come back, and finish up. Preds in Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. They've made some roster moves, and somebody's not coming back. We'll tell you about it on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.